Chase, is there going to be a closed session on item 12A? Is there any update?
Yes.
Okay.
There is going to be one.
Let's call this meeting to order. It's the Oceano Community Services District. Today is February 13th, 2013. Almost happy Valentine's Day to everybody. If I can get a roll call, Carolyn.
President Guerrero.
Present.
Vice President Lucy.
Present.
Director Hurdle.
Here.
Director White.
Present.
Director Angelo.
Here.
All right. Item number three, the flag salute, if you'll join me.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving on to item number four is the agenda review. I do have one poll at this point. It would be item 10B. The county has not gotten back to us yet. Is there any other changes, additions? Modifications, addendums, running out of words here. 10B is the community.
Public comment. Oh, I'm looking at minutes, sorry.
You're on the wrong section there. All right, if nobody has any other changes, is there a motion to modify as, or a motion to accept as modified?
I move that we accept the agenda as modified.
Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries by unanimous vote. Moving on to item number five, special presentations. Glenda Guyton and Linda Austin. Why don't we do Linda Austin first?
Okay, great.
We want to do it up there?
Sure. Linda, this is for our appreciation of your leadership and initiation in the economic revitalization of the community of Oceano. You have been very good to us with your work with the depot and your participation in business development, your active role in SAVOR, which brings a lot of promotes Oceano very well, your active role in the Oceano Advisory Council, and working to draw people to our area via U.S. Air Magazine and Sunset Magazine. Greatly appreciated, and thank you so very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Linda. And I have the fortune of presenting a plaque of appreciation to Glenda Guyton, who's present here. And I remember when I moved to town, somebody said to me, you got to meet the Guytons, you got to meet the Guytons. And it took a few years. I think we ran on a parallel path. My wife with her dance stuff, and your family so involved with dance with CDMA. And it turned out one day, I think we went somewhere, and my wife and I realized we knew the same people. And one of the things that your family has made a mark on Oceana, the railroad depot would not be here in the condition that it's in, but for you and your husband. Your work at keeping the American flag prominent here in Oceana, we thank you for it. You roll in Zone 1, 1A. Tom has told me that you're the garbage monitor. You drive around town, and if there's garbage that's been dumped, you let us know about it, and so we get that taken care of. And also your support of the people of Oceano, it's really appreciated by everybody that I know. Can I hug you?
Yes.
And I'm
your wingman.
Thank you very much.
Well earned, my dear.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, yours are warmer than mine.
Next year we're going to use calligraphy.
Thank you again, both of you, on behalf of all of us and myself personally. Item number 6 is public comment. Tom, do we have any speaker forms tonight?
Nobody gave me any slips, but I'm sure somebody will be up there.
I see Ms. Tacker coming forward. Ms. Tacker?
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I compliment you on your presentation to the Guyton and Austin families. They are well deserved, and I appreciate their work in Oceana. I am curious about 10B that you removed from the agenda and what exactly you were waiting for from the county. I'd be interested to know. Something that I think your board needs is a mid-year budget review. You had a mid-year review in early January that really highlighted some of the projects that you've completed, but you really didn't have a financial analysis, one that would show you where your restricted funds are, your designated funds are, your reserves are, and then you need a goal-setting session to earmark those funds for the future of your district. Committee meetings are a great place to form these goals and the tasks and set the path for the future. You were supposed to have committee meetings yesterday. I don't know what happened to those. In your warrants tonight, you're going to approve a warrant for Caliber audit and a test for a significant amount of money. That looks to me like your audit for 2010-11 might be complete, and I look forward to seeing that. But also on the warrants, since there's really no place on the agenda to speak about the warrants, I'm going to take this opportunity, although it does cut into my time. There are several items on the warrants that exceed the general manager's spending authority. And I'd like an explanation of how that happens and why. You've got bylaws, you adopted them, and they should be adhered to. And a significant amount of money is moving through those warrants without your board's prior approval. Something else that I'd like to see in the near term, since April is right around the corner, is a water rate increase analysis. You've been increasing the rates year after year the last 2 years. This will be the third year. And I'd like to see if that money is coming in and being used to fund the projects that were necessary as part of your water master plan, and how we're ticking off those capital improvements. And then I think we need to take a serious look at the sewer fund. The last two fund balance sheets from your general manager show a significant decline, and something in the formula, maybe early in the rate increase, isn't matching the expenses that are going out. So I look forward to that in the future.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, seeing none, I apologize to everybody. I have Linda? Okay. Good evening, Ms. Austin.
I just wanted to announce that the Oceano Kiwanis is having their spaghetti dinner March 2nd over here at the depot. And this fundraiser is going to benefit the youth leadership program, and we'll be sending two kids from Oceano to a key leadership camp in Santa Barbara. And we met with the Boys and Girls Club with Frankie, and he's going to find us two teenagers, high school kids, to go. So we're having our spaghetti dinner. It's $10. It's Saturday, March 2nd, 4 to 6 p.m. So I'd like to see everybody come. Thanks. Yeah.
And Barbara was supposed to bring tickets tonight. Were you bringing tickets?
I have tickets.
Okay.
You have tickets?
Good.
Great.
She hit me up, so I owe you some money then.
She could have made it.
Is there any other public comment? All right. Yeah, hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda, item number 7. Is there any board comments on that?
You know, I have to say is I'm really glad to see you taking a proactive position on the jetter and putting money back into the district. And that's just a small little bit of work that's been done, and I don't want to get into it. But I do see it on the warrants, and I think the people of Oceana have been waiting a very long time to see their rates, their fees go into the infrastructure, and I personally cannot thank you enough for taking a lead on that, finding a creative way to make that happen, and making it a better place to live, really cleaner. So thank you.
In case anybody wants to know, the customer refund is a refund on a hydrant meter. So when we have a developer that needs water, we usually service it through. And then when they're completed with the project, after they pay their water bill, we refund them the deposit. So that's what that customer refund is.
Should I see two of them? There's John Bell and Mary Stark?
Right.
Yeah. I do see the South Slo CSD payments totaling about $62,000 and change. Have they paid their bill yet?
No, they haven't.
My. So, do we discuss that now or later?
Well, why don't we wait till the committee reports?
Great.
Karen, do you have any questions on the warrants or concerns? I think my time's up. If there's no questions or concerns, modifications, then I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the warrants for February 12, 2013.
I'll second that.
Okay, but it looks like that's item 7B then. Is there all in favor say aye.
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 And since we didn't do 7A, we have the review and approval of minutes for January 23rd, 2013. We need to look at those. Are there any questions, concerns, changes, additions?
I must say that, Caroline, your minutes are impeccable. They really are getting great.
Thank you.
Clear, concise, direct, to the point, and spelled correctly.
Yes, go ahead, Karen.
I thought we were supposed to do the whole consent agenda at one time.
We are, but the motion came through just to approve the warrant, so.
Okay.
Oh. Consent agenda, I'm sorry.
It's all right. Is there a motion to approve the minutes with the attachments?
I move that we approve the minutes with the attachments.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to item number 8, reports. Sheriff South Station Commander Jim Taylor.
For the period between January 9th and today, February 13th, we've received a total of 461 calls for service in Oceano. Among those calls were 6 burglaries, 3 petty thefts, 7 vandalisms, and 1 robbery.
Huh.
The robbery was reported to us the morning of February 5th. The victim reported that she and her boyfriend had been living in a tent in Arroyo Grande Creek under the 22nd Street Bridge overcrossing. They had left the tent early in the morning to go into town. However, they remembered they'd forgotten something, so they went back to the tent to retrieve the item, and at that time they found another transient who was coming out of their tent with 2 of their backpacks. Now, ordinarily, in California law, we would call that a burglary. Except that when the female confronted this person and tried to stop him, he assaulted her, pushed her to the ground, so that made it a robbery. Mm-hmm. He then fled northbound down through the creek. The deputies got a description of this person. They checked the creek, including a couple of other camps that they found along the way. They didn't find the suspect. Of course, nobody had seen anything north of the location. While the deputy was attempting to do more follow-up, trying to find this person that matched the description at the local kitchen, the victim and her boyfriend moved away and left no forwarding information. So now we don't even know how to contact them. So at this point, the case is inactive unless we identify the suspect or somebody gets in touch with us. The other criminal activities, we had three vandalisms that were reported in early February where someone had gone and smashed windshields out of cars. No suspects. These were early morning, late night, early morning activities. Other than that, it's been fairly quiet for the first part of the year. We're going to be attending next week on Wednesday a series of meetings with the Amgen tour promoters. And these meetings are going to be essentially an opportunity for public safety to voice their concerns and to be part of the planning for Stage 5 when it comes through this area. Stage 5 of the race is going to begin on May 16th at 11 a.m. in Santa Barbara. The riders are going to depart from Santa Barbara and head north through the Santa Ynez Valley. They'll cross into San Luis Obispo County on Highway 1 at Guadalupe. They'll remain on Highway 1 across the Mesa through Oceano, Pismo Beach, Shell Beach, and that leg of the race will end in Avila. Most of the concern that's been voiced to the Sheriff's Office from residents in the unincorporated areas have been the folks in Avila who are deeply concerned about the access for emergency services, both for themselves and also for the plant in and out of Avila because there's just one roadway. And it's not so much the race, which actually occurs in a pretty short period of time. It's all the other traffic from everybody that wants to be at the termination point. So we will be keeping all the stakeholders kind of advised in our areas what we learn and what plans are made. Final thing that I wanted to mention was the Sheriff's Town Hall meeting that's going to be held here in Oceano. It's being hosted by the Community Services District and the Sheriff's Advisory Foundation, and it will be on Thursday, March 28th at 6 p.m. here at the Community Service District boardroom. And that's all I have. Take any questions?
I don't. Thank you, Commander.
Thank you.
Nope. Commander? I do have a question about the vandalism. Did they occur in a concentrated area, or was it?
They were kind of widespread. There was one on 22nd, one on Vista, one on Cienega, and one on Bell Ridge. So
thank
it
you.
Wasn't as if somebody had it in for a particular street and everybody that lived on it. And as near as we could tell, there weren't any connections between the four people. So I don't know that they're connected. It just seems like they would be because they're all a similar MO.
Thank you.
Thanks, Commander. Anything, Mayor? All right, moving on to item number 8B, OCSD Operations General Manager Tom Giesen.
Good evening. One of my favorite movies is a movie called Network. And during that movie, there's a scene where a reporter realizes that enough is enough, and he stands up and he goes in front of everybody, and there's a whole bunch of studio audience and everything, and he says, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And that becomes a chant, and all of a sudden people start going to their windows and they say, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And it becomes a chant and a movement and it disrupts the status quo. Well, since I've been here 18 months, I have had a lady in this audience stand up and attack me, attack my business, attack my reputation. She has written in a blog, and that's about all I'll say it is, under an editorial where she's never let the facts get in the way of a good story and has done everything she possibly can to damage me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And I am calling her out right now because, one, she's not a resident of Oceano. She doesn't own investment property in Oceano. She calls our sister agencies and demands answers to meetings or correspondence on district-related business. She calls our vendors and copies vendors on emails that she cites laws that she's totally misinterpreted the laws. And it has now reached the fact where people don't even want to do business with Oceano Community Service District. When we go out for people to come in and work, they say, I'm sorry, we don't want the scrutiny of this individual. And I attended a water meeting today, and it was brought to my attention that she called their director of public works and browbeat him, wanting to know how Pismo Beach would give Oceano permission to do something. It's none of her business. It's not in her purview, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I have had it. I've sought legal action, and the response that I got from the legal action was, ladies and gentlemen, that there's nothing to get, Tom. You're not the only one, and everybody's looked at it, but unfortunately, there's nothing to get. And so I would get a $25,000 legal bill in the middle of a donut. She stands before you tonight and says, oh, I'm running money through here that shouldn't be. I don't sign one check, and there's not one transaction that this board does not know about. The $8,500 check in there today that went to Kronos Construction, that was because we had eight holes in the top of our million-gallon tank, and we were on the verge of getting cited for it if we didn't get it repaired. We're doing maintenance and repair to a system that needs it. And we are doing it very, very well. The issue about me going out for water, we are a water company, and I am doing everything I can to keep the rates down. And so if we can move water on a temporary basis to the benefit of this district, I don't need to remind you, we have a five-year contract with Arroyo Grande, and because of the good fortune of having surplus water, that water costs us nothing, and that was a $300,000 positive hit to this company. I am sick and tired of having to explain myself when everything I've done is upfront and transparent. And I know she'll get up in 5 minutes and say, oh, well, that was a nice grandstand by Mr. Gieselin. Well, you know what? I do care about this district. I do take care of this district. And here, out of a revitalization meeting where we had citizens come forward and want to do a farmer's market, and she's done everything she can to stop it. And she was going to the county trying to figure out when I turn the MUP in, so that the reason is what? So you can appeal it and halt it so we won't open up in April or May? You're doing everything you can. You stand at that microphone and you say, I'm going to do everything I can to help this because I care about Oceano. Well, I'm sorry, but your mouth says one thing and your actions say another, and I'm sick and tired, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And so I'm asking the people of Oceano to come to our defense and say, ladies and gentlemen, we're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. We don't need you to come into this town and tell us how to run it. You're not my boss. You're not a board of directors of OCSD. You're not anything to me. And you're not anything to this district. And I am sick and tired of all your attacks. And I don't care what you write on Cal Coast News, because none of it is ever accurate. Not one thing is a piece of fact. And the thing that really, really ticks me off is nobody from Cal Coast News has ever called me to check out any of the stuff that they print. The other press does all the time. And I've had it, because it's now it's gone beyond a slam against me, but now it's affecting how the district does business, and the district does business very well. But if we have people that don't want to do work with us because of that, then we are now in harm's way. So when that person stands up and says, well, I don't like how you're doing this, and we need to do this, and we need to do this, who's the we? Do you got a mouse in your pocket? I don't need this. The district doesn't need it, and the people of Oceano don't need it. And if it were My deal right now, I'm going to give you some paperwork because I'm obligated by law, but I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. You want to take a break? Okay.
5 minutes.
It's 5 minutes to 7. Why don't we come back at 8? Or 7, excuse me.
What? We're going to dinner, huh?
It's on the chief. Thank you, Tom. All right, we'll call this meeting back to order. It is 7 o'clock. Oceano Community Services District returned from a short break. We're still on item 8B, report of OCSD operations. General Manager, Tom Giesel.
Okay, we've had a meet, since December, we've had 17 repairs, after-hours repairs that we've had to make. It's a whole bunch of things. Everything from just obsolescence to stuff just falling apart. So the flu bug is starting to creep in. One of our guys went home with the flu. And we're in the process of completing the audit. And we, so that'll get three done. But I need to remind you that when we found all those prior year adjustments, we basically had to go back and restate 2 years now. The other thing is that the amount of compliance issues I keep talking about, it, that's going to be the expense builder. I mean, we're doing everything we can to keep the water in check and keep the rates where they are, but with all the compliance issues, it's taken more and more time. We got our APCD reports done. Mm-hmm. We got our water reports finished. We had two circuit riders in from California Rural Water, one of which I'd like to hand out this letter. I don't know if you've got it already, but he's talking about the assessment of our operation. If you don't have it, they can be there for the public. We had the circuit rider out also for our sewer system. Our sewer system, and he's given us some ideas. You're going to vote tonight to approve us going out and conserving cash and leasing the jetter truck, and we received approval from the leasing company today that the district is approved to go out and lease that. So once I have that, then we can go ahead and turn the clock on that. We've been
that would be considered a loan, right?
Yeah, that would be a loan. Yeah, and somebody said that we have no debt, and that confuses me because that means you don't know how to read a balance sheet and you don't know how to read accounting statements, because this district does have debt. We have a $300,000 lease on Tyler Software that was put in 2011, I believe. We have an $800,000 debt with the county because the audits weren't done. So therefore, they had to loan us money because we couldn't participate in a bond deal for our Lopez Water. And number three, starting in 1979, we had multiple bond offerings, and one of them is going to be paid off this coming 6 months. So last time I checked, that's debt. So we do have debt. And what we're doing by going out for this lease is we're conserving cash. We have the money. We can go write that check and pay it. But why should we? Because we're going to have additional expenses coming up. The question's about the sewer fund. We are still in the process of identifying where everything goes, because it turns out when the sheriff's substation was built, they borrowed from the water fund to build the sheriff's substation, and that had to be paid back. When they did the earthquake repairs, we have to go back and make these prior year adjustments to that. So, yes, it shows the sewer fund is running at a deficit, but it's because we still have to move the money around to adjust it until, I mean, we just closed the books on a year 6 months ago, and we have to make those adjustments. It's normal operations. The other thing that we need to remember is that water money goes for water, And sewer money goes for sewer. And we haven't had any sewer increases. We've only had water rate increases. And the sad part is for as bad as the water situation is, the sewer situation is bad. But we're trying not to use ratepayers' money. That's why we've got WSC working to go get grants, so we get grant money to go knock that down. We're about the people's business here, and we do it very well. And I could see if I was taking, showing up 2 hours a week and smiling and telling everything's good. But you guys know the time that we log here. You know the time the staff logs. And you've seen the results. And we're going to continue to do it. And we're going to continue to turn this into the model that it needs to be. And we're already getting recognition. I've got two recruitment calls saying, hey, do you want to give that up and come put in an application or send us your resume? No, thank you. I made the commitment to Oceano. I'm going to see it through. Templeton had 51 applicants for general manager. I discussed this with one of the board members. I didn't want to go. Though they asked, one of the directors called me and said, hey, would you be interested? Not interested. I'm here to complete the task at hand that we did. I'm here to make Oceano the shining star it needs to be. I'm here to make the people of Oceano be proud of their events and to bring this around. If you look at, we gave Linda an award tonight. Did anybody drive by the railroad event? It was packed for 2 days in constant flow of people. The word's starting to get out. When we get this farmer's market going, the same thing. Somebody made a comment about, well, you can't use money for this and you can't use money for that. Well, I'm sorry, you're wrong. We researched the laws. And there is nothing wrong with me going out to businesses that I know that will want to sponsor this. I went to something Tuesday night 2 weeks ago, and I got commitments from 7 people. But I didn't take their check because until we get the go-ahead from the county, I don't want to take money and then have it sit, because their money needs to work, our money needs to work, the whole thing. But I guarantee it, once we get that go, I will have some very high-powered corporations writing us checks to underwrite this endeavor. That's my job. My job is to look for opportunities to protect this community and make sure this community goes, and I'm going to go do it with your help. That's all I have tonight.
Thank you, Tom. We appreciate that. Board of Directors, Outside Committees, 8CA. Director Angelo?
I don't have anything.
Okay. Director Hurdle?
I've been attending farmers markets meetings. It's a very tedious process, but we are making progress, and I'm still very excited. We've got a lot of people that are involved in this, and the community response is great. We had a great meeting the other night with the advertising committee at Rock and Roll Diner, and Mario has thrown in his hat. He wants to be involved, the owner, and it's just very nice. I did attend an OAC meeting, but Karen is going to make the report on that.
Okay. Moving on to item 8CC, that's my report. There were 2 sanitation district meetings. Anybody who read the Tribune article, that's a pretty fair take on exactly what happened. On the first meeting was February 6th, and then there was a follow-up meeting on February 11th. On February 6th, Mayor Peterson started a top-down review. She brought in a spreadsheet and talking points that I've attached to our agenda for information, rather than me trying to regurgitate it. And she was concerned about a number of items, namely the conflict of interest or perceived conflict of interest between the Wallace Group and Wallace Engineering in regards to the sanitation district, the grand jury report, the expenditures, lack of checks and balances, to name a few. And if anybody'd like to see that, that is attached to our agenda packet. This was her review. She took 5 years of audits and carried those forward. And those are represented here. The district is losing anywhere from I think it was $800,000 to $900,000 a year. Is that the way it came out? in reserves, capital reserves. And so I brought that in for the whole board's review. After following the meeting on Wednesday the 6th, a special meeting was called. There's no reportable action at this time, given that it was an administrative review of Mr. Wallace's services, and the three board members and Mike Seitz were there for that meeting. Also, there's been this question about potential water sales from Oceano, and like Manager Gieselin mentioned earlier, we're a water company. We sell water, and that's what works. We have extra water. It is in the ground, and we actively look for buyers. And one of the things that we've done is we've sold to other entities. We've sold our reserve water. And the reasons that we do this is to keep ratepayer water rates down. And Manager Gieselin and I talk on almost a daily basis. We talk about these particular things. There's been no secrets. I know what he's doing. We brainstorm. He has our support. There's no action that could have been taken at this time because there's no potential contracts. And so it is with our support that, you know, he finds ways to raise money. And it's not just grants. It's not just OHV fees. It's not just any one thing. And this is one of the avenues that we look to do. We heard from the people. We heard the message loud and clear that they do not want permanent water sales. But there are still a lot of options available to the board, to the community of Oceano, to keep rates low, to provide services for our constituents and our customers, our clients. And I applaud and I approve of Mr. Gieselin's doing so. So with that, the next sanitation district meeting is going to be next Wednesday. I encourage anybody who wants to be there to come. It will be at 6 o'clock here at the OCSD. And that's all I can think of that I've got at this point. So I'll move on to Vice President Lucy.
I had a couple questions about...
Oh, that's not all I can think of. I'm sorry. I thought of something else.
Go ahead.
This letter from California Rural Water Association. We had received this letter. Rob Shirley had been out to the water yard and was so impressed by the infrastructure improvements that he saw that he wrote this letter. I was at the water yard, was it yesterday? And I met a gentleman named Pat Conway, who's from the same organization, California Rural Water Association. He gave me his business card, which is a guitar pick. And I thought that was cool. And Tom wasn't there. I was there with Pat, and Pat made some comments to me that I thought were very very appropriate and really kind of go with show what's going on at the OCSD. He said, the changes to the water yard, I don't think I even told you, Tom, the changes to the water yard are phenomenal, and they really show that the individuals that you have working for you have a lot of pride in their work, and they're doing a great job. And he said, keep doing what you're doing. It's really, you're going the right direction. And he was very, very supportive of everything that's going on here. So with that.
Great. Can I just read you one line out of this letter? Because I was really moved by this letter, too. But the last line says, this is one of the easiest of letters for me to write based on the excellence of the employees and appreciate what you are doing and supporting their efforts. It spoke volumes to me. Mm-hmm. And so those are one of those letters that I definitely will keep and allow to hang around at the house so I can look at it and remind me why we do this. I want to ask you a couple questions about the Sand District.
Yes.
Okay, you ready?
Maybe. We'll see.
Let me get this straight. When Matt had made a statement that the district was losing money, he meant the Sanitation District, not the District of Oceano.
Right.
So, because there is a lot of districts. So my understanding is the administrator for the plant is a 1099 employee, which means he's a contracted employee, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. So he is not the employee in the typical way that you would have anything withdrawn from your paychecks. You don't usually get benefits, legal fees, or anything like that. But not in this case, correct?
Yep.
Right, because in this case, I think what you're referring to is the contract that was in effect up until 2011 did provide for a defense in the event of a legal action, but it did not provide for us to pay any benefits, retirement, workers' comp, anything like that.
But did, okay, so when did the evaluation first happen? November, correct? The evaluation, the performance
yes.
evaluation of the administrator.
It started in November, yes.
The first one started in November. November, December, January, February. Okay, so now we have 4 months. We're still reviewing the same contractor who plays the role as engineer, contractor, you know, plays every role he can, you know, and now it's put off again, correct? Till the 20th.
Yes, there's not a reportable action.
You know, I just have an issue with this. You know, it's like you have an exhaustive list, and I have to thank the mayor of Grover Beach for articulating it and laying it out in the paperwork. I know that you have spoke eloquently for a long time at that table about the same similar things. Debbie has now documented it, pulled it together in a comprehensive document, and was requested an audit, right? 4 months of evaluating a 1099 employee. I can understand if you have a full-time, you know, salary-paid employee. I understand negotiating, but I don't understand this. So how long will the people of Oceano continue to fork out that $60,000 to $80,000 a month or whatever is goes through? How many more months are we going to have to wait for a change? Because now you have an organization that had a $5 million surplus less than 5 years ago and now is running...
Sorry, Kyle.
running a deficit of $90,000 a month?
It's probably more like $75,000.
Okay, $75,000 a month. So can you help me without disclosing any, you know, top secrets in the sanitation district, how you can justify stringing it out? It's costing us. Every single household, it costs us for the incompetency. Every single repair that has to be duplicated or said it's done, it's not done, and then it turns into a crisis. It's costly. Why?
The only thing I can say without violating the closed session discussions is that there was a board change. And Bill Nichols from Grover Beach was on the board into December. And then Debbie Peterson came on after that point. And these items are put back on the agenda.
So we're regurgitating history again? Is that what we're doing? No.
Well, the discussions are closed session, so.
Okay. So when can we expect that body, that entity over there to actually make a change for the better? And I'm not saying what that change is. I'm just saying, what is the timeline? Because I think in numbers. I think how much money is this going to cost me each month? Where is this going? We still have this huge, huge fine over our head. Not to mention all the residents over there. So, you know, I think in dollars, and so I'm trying to grasp how much more the stalling is going to cost us.
I don't have anything to report on that.
Would you say it'd be safe?
I understand the question.
6 months? Would you say it'd be safe? Not asking you to vote. I'm not asking you to breach sure. any confidentiality.
I don't think I can answer that question without breaching the confidentiality.
Okay. Okay, fair enough. I attended the RAC meeting, Water Resource Advisory Body, or committee, in San Luis Obispo. This is where all the farmers and everybody who has a vested interest in water comes together, and they look at the county master plan and the state plans and take advice from technical assistance and determine when we need to have the subcommittee look at something. So the main topic of discussion I thought it was good and it was very educational was the biannual land use report to the Board of of Supervisors. And so I thought that was very good, and it moved forward, and I think that we'll be able to have some strong recommendations next year when the master plan comes back up. Definitely could be modified. Cambria was an interesting topic. I watch the Cambria CSD meetings all the time, and Cambria had come to the table with the request. They did a presentation on water conservation, the many, many different ways that they're going to do it, and that they will reduce their demand by, I think it was like 55 to 70%. And so we have what were called LOS 1 to 3, and 3 being the most severe as far as access to resources, 1 being minimal, and there's also 0. Oceana doesn't need any water. We are a 0. We are about the only ones on the Central Coast that is a LOS 0, so that's a good rating to be. But nobody knows really what the rating means. So many people know that Cambria has not been able to issue will serve letters for some time now for their parcels. And so they had this conservation plan. It sounded great, but it was a concept. And they were asking for a letter to be removed from an LOS 1, I mean an LOS 3 plus, to an LOS 1. And that was kind of problematic because it wasn't in play. Their ideas had not actually performed and contributed anything at this point. There was nothing on paper, but it was a great ideas. So, you know, and so that was a really good discussion, too. So Tom Gieselin attended the meeting with me till about 2:30. When Mr. Gieselin left, the last agenda item was anything for future agenda items. At that point, a non-member jumped up and demanded that Oceana be put on the agenda to give a complete, thorough report on a fabricated sale, something that had happened in the newspaper. And it was really an odd situation. That's all I can say. There was a lot of screaming and yelling and verbal attacks, and so I just don't like being in those types of situations. So it goes beyond Oceano. So that's my reports.
Thank you. Director White.
Yes, I have two reports. One, I was at the Zone 3 Tech meeting, and they proceed on the 10-year plan for the Rio Grande Creek Habitat Development Program. And they have received a preliminary report from a consulting firm that has been charged with figuring out what kind of water needs to be downstream. And the report was found to be very incomplete and did not satisfy the research that needed to be done. And it has been thrown back to the company to whom has been paid lots of money to do this report. And they hope sometime this year to get their answers back on that. And the process is going very, very, very slowly, much slower than the process that is also underway to get 24-hour notice emergency permits to deal with the mouth of the Rio Grande Creek in case of flooding. That process is moving forward because there's about 6 agencies that need to give their blessing to that. I also was at Oceano Advisory, and I wish I had my notes. I forgot. I apologize. I forgot my notes. But very nice gentleman presented plans for a 2-story hotel. It'll have 3 rooms. It's really a vacation rental, but it's categorized as a hotel by the county. And it'll be immediately north of Angelo's facility, right on the beach, immediately north toward the little sand dune there. Mm-hmm. And it'll have very low profile. And the plan, there was, he had lots of information. It really looks very nice. It's in land that's already been disturbed and is already zoned for that kind of thing. And I certainly was very pleased to see it. Mm-hmm. And I also have been told that last meeting I was at, I said that Oceano Advisory meets at 3 o'clock. It meets at 4 o'clock, right? 4 o'clock. 4. On the 4th Monday of the month at this building, and everybody in Oceano who is interested in Oceano is invited.
Karen, can I ask you, was it a one- or two-story building?
Two-story. Two-story.
Are they allowing two stories?
20 feet. And it's okay. Tucked back up into the sand dune. You'd have to see
yes.
The plans.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
25 feet,
25
Terry?
Feet. Thank okay. You.
The project's before the, he's got it before the Coastal Commission guys are in there yeah. Answering the questions.
Right I'm here. Just wondering about airport land use. Hmm.
Thank you, Karen. I also got a call. There's an informal poll going around whether or not we should call Oceano Beach.
Yes. I also have spoken out on that, and my opinion is that when the railroad came through on the depot, they put a sign that said Oceano. It's Oceano. And I don't see any reason to change it, but that's just me, and I live around the corner in Halcyon.
They had the Ocean Beach.
Oceano.
Oceano Beach.
That Oceano is basically well, the word ocean.
One of the things that I questioned the builder of the hotel about is that I would like to see him put Oceano in the name of it. And yes, absolutely. We don't want anything down on the beach anymore that identifies Pismo Beach.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
boo.
Right. Right. And I really think that Oceano Beach Hotel would be great.
Right. That one.
You know, yeah. I think somebody has a book out
with that title. Do we need Pismo's permission for that?
Well, you know, it's down there, and you know, when I saw that project come in, I thought I was very excited, and then I walked down there, and this big sign says Pismo Beach something, but it's Pismo Beach Club, but it's in Oceano, so, you know.
All right.
Do we know who's doing that actual survey, or is it just informal?
I got a call from Barbara Mann.
I did, too.
I did, too.
Linda was saying Barbara got a letter from...
There was a letter written by a resident in Oceano. I wanted to know.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to item number 9, then, public comment. Linda Guyton, do you have any public comment?
Now you
Linda,
do
you have any public comment?
Oh,
we're on item number 9, public comment. Carolyn.
Barbara got a letter about from a resident wanting to know if to ask people in town if they would want to think about changing the name.
So that's something the advisory committee is looking
at. We'll be
at.
Talking about it next time.
Also, part of the revitalization, when we were a meeting last year, there were some proponents of that as part of the revitalization. So there are people that are interested in making that change.
Ms. Tacker?
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and Mr. Martin, a note was passed to Mr. Guerrero, and I believe that's public record, and I'd like to read it. It might be his latte order, but I would...
It says water sales.
Oh, great. Okay. Then I don't need a copy. There was some mention to whether or not the sanitation district bill had been paid. I understand that the formula for administration has been changed. That would need to go before the Sanitation District Board to accept the changes, and any budget adjustment, if there's an increase, would also have to go before the board. So that has not been done, to my knowledge, and that's probably why you haven't been paid, because the board would have to approve that expenditure. Budget adjustments are made in public. Mr. Gieslin went on about the FEMA funds and how it has to go back to where it came from.
Yes, it does, but your board has to approve it, and that has not happened. Those funds came to this district in July. My concerns tonight are over the $125,000 purchase of a Jetter trailer. The sewer fund is in deficit. Mr. Gieselin just said that the water fund had an increase when the rate increase was passed. He is mistaken. Both the sewer and water funds got a rate increase in 2011. So if that's not been calculated properly, that might be why the sewer fund is in deficit. Now, when I buy a car or lease a car or look at my checkbook, I want to know that I can afford the best piece of equipment. Your district got a bid for a different piece of machinery last fall, and I believe you need to run that second, that the new bid by some other vendors in order to get a competitive bid for a piece of machinery that is really half the horsepower and half, it's a smaller machine. And other vendors might be able to offer you a better price. And I think it's legally required that you get multiple bids. What also concerns me is the job. What exactly are the requirements? And I remember your board having this discussion last September. You wanted to know what the maintenance requirements for the sewer system were. You wanted to know what the licenses might cost. And you wanted to have all of that in front of you, an analysis of what this machine would cost. And what I think you should do is see what it costs to outsource. It may be cheaper.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker.
Over the long run.
Is there any other public comment this evening?
Good evening, Terry Sweetland and Oceano. I came down to the meeting, primarily got interested in what's going on down here by the CalCOAST article. And I'm glad I did because I am absolutely amazed at the change of this OCSD. And you've all stuck with it through thick and thin. And I congratulate you. And everybody that I've seen here shows a degree of professionalism that I'm just really happy to see, from Carol Ann all the way across to Tom Gleason. I had the $2 tour of the waterworks, and the letter over there mentions that Tom and or Tony and Aaron.
Yeah.
But I saw a gentleman by the name of Gerald up there. Is it Gerald?
No, it was Kevin.
That was Kevin?
Oh, Casey.
Casey.
Anyway, who showed us around also. And I could see from the employees there.
That was Aaron. Yeah.
That was Aaron?
Short guy, red shirt.
Yeah.
That's Aaron.
Okay. They all had a pride in their work, and it was very, very reassuring to see. So I'm very happy. As you know, I worked with a group of people to put through the law stating, or the whatever we call it, in the for people to vote on whether or not we would have to have the sale of water, and it says permanent sale, and I am in no objection at all, and I don't see any fault at all with you trying to negotiate for temporary contracts for excess water with other facility cities, as long as it brings us more money. And I think that's a good idea. So I just want you to know that from my interpretation of what we meant, we didn't want Oceano to lose that ace in the hole we had, future development, and I did want them to use that water to bring in income. So all that aside, one more thing. I think, I don't know if you've thought of this, but on your water bills, you ought to put in there, if you've got to go out to the house more than once in a year to clean up the grease in the sewer, that they should be charged and warn them of it. No putting oil or other things down the sewer, and put in there lard and cooking oil and things like that. And maybe that would help. So am I still on?
Yes, you are.
Okay. You're going to have weed abatement. I've always had this idea of somehow working up an agreement with people with vacant lots that they would let the community use it for farming.
Yes.
And replace of, in place of weed abatement.
Thank you, Mr. Sweetland.
Okay.
It was a pleasure meeting with you yesterday, by the way. Is there any other public comment?
No slips.
All right. Moving on to item 10A, consideration of standardizing the process of weed abatement and the procedures for the sale of safe and sane fireworks within the five cities fire authority jurisdictional boundaries. This is Chief Arenas. And Chief, we didn't have a chief's report tonight, because part of my embarrassment maybe, but feel free at this point if you would like to add a report on Oceano and what's been happening with the five cities fire authority.
Good evening, Board. Joel Arenas, Five Cities Fire Authority. From January 9th through the 13th of this month, we have had 62 calls for service within the district. We've had 11 good intents, 5 service calls or assisting invalids, 2 hazardous conditions where there was no fire, 43 medical aids, and 1 fire on Super Bowl Sunday. That was a small loss, about $200. It was oily rags inside of a dryer unit, and we were able to get the owner out there after a while. And
well, he was watching the Super Bowl. I don't know why he didn't take your call.
We got it taken care of.
Just so it was my place that was on fire. I ignored his call. And,
you admit that.
You think he was somebody else?
Well, I knew it was a good hand, so...
He did think it was somebody else.
Thank you, Chief. Everything's fine, and I thank the fire department for handling it so quickly.
Any questions on the calls for service within the district? Okay, we'll move on to the process of weed abatement and the procedures for the sale of safe and sane fireworks. As the board is well aware, the formation of the Five Cities Fire Authority was done in order to increase efficiencies and increase the service of fire suppression within the Five Cities Fire Authority. And with the formation of the one fire department, we still had 3 entities that we were following your procedures and your policies with regards to weed abatement and the sale of fireworks. And what that caused for the authority was we had 3 different sets of rules, 1 for each entity. We had 3 different dates that we had to follow. And, of course, it's all being administered by the staff of Five Cities Fire Authority. And so I think you can imagine how cumbersome that is for the staff to have to enforce 3 different sets of rules. We can have citizens on one side of the street saying, why do I have to have my weeds down by this particular date? And that person over there doesn't. Are his weeds wetter than mine over on this side of the street? And, of course, the answer is no. But it's the following the rules of each entity. So what we're trying to get to is to have 1 set of rules throughout the Five Cities Fire Authority followed by each entity. And, you know, with weed abatement, we would have 1 date for a public notice. We would have 1 date for noticing the property owners, 1 date for a mow-down deadline. We would have 1 public hearing for the public, regardless if that property owner had property in Oceano as well as Grover Beach. They still have just 1 meeting and 1 public hearing to go to. If they don't abate their lots, they have 1 protest hearing to go to. It makes it easier for the authority. I don't think the Oceano Community Services District will notice any change, and certainly the property owners will have an easier time of it. And the same goes for the sale of safe and sane fireworks. Right now, we have rules that have a wide degree of variation in them, from the time you apply for your fireworks booth to the amount of money you pay for that fireworks booth to the hours of operation, the setting off of the safe and sane fireworks. And so what we're proposing to do, again, is to bring that under one set of rules for the authority to administer. And the nonprofit groups that are staffing the booths will have one meeting to go to. They'll have one set of dates to adhere to. And the sale and setting off of fireworks will be the same throughout the five cities' fire authority. Now, each entity has its own particular way of how and who they decide will get a fireworks booth, and the authority has no desire to alter that. That's going to remain in with your decision, and we will honor whatever number of booths you decide you want to have within your district and who is going to staff those booths and how they're going to rotate, if they are going to rotate. So none of that will change. If you've had a chance to look at the matrices on this report, you can kind of see where we are right now with regards to weed abatement. And you can look and see at Oceano, when you adopt the resolution, when the lots are identified, sending notices to the property owners, and so on and so forth. And you can compare that to what we're trying to move to with the five cities fire authority. So you will see some areas that are not going to change for you, and there are other areas that will change. And the same thing with the matrix on sale of safe and sane fireworks. I think for Oceano, the main changes for the sale of fireworks is going to be the fee that you currently have now of a filing fee of $400, and then you have a $500 refundable cleaning deposit. That will change to $75, so that's quite a bit less, and that's refundable to the organization. But the cost of the booth is it's going to, what, $690, where now it's $400. So you will see a little bit of drop of revenue.
$300, that's a lot of money.
So that's, I think, going to be the biggest thing, other than when you can set fireworks off. Right now, I understand that fireworks can be set off in Oceano 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And what we're looking to restrict that to is noon on June 28th until noon on July 5th. That's a sale of it. I'm sorry. Noon July 3rd to July 5th at midnight, and then noon of December 30th to midnight of January 1st. So with those changes, like I say, those are the main things that are going to affect Oceano. But when we look, I've been here a year. When we look at the amount, the fireworks that are being set off now in Oceano, we just don't have that this time of year. The fireworks really are set off on the 4th of July, maybe the 3rd of July. You get a little bit of it, but the vast majority of fireworks are set off on the 4th of July, so we don't really think that that's going to impact the residents of Oceano all that greatly. So with that, I will entertain any questions or comments that you may have.
My guess is that if we approve this, you're going to all the different councils, and then there would need to be a resolution passed by each?
That's correct. The process, I presented this to Arroyo Grande last night, to you tonight, and to Grover Beach on the 19th. Assuming all three will adopt mm-hmm. this, then I will go to the authority's legal counsel, have him draft an ordinance for the weed abatement process and the fireworks, and then we will bring that back to your legal counsel. Your counsel will draft an ordinance that will basically mirror ours. And so we have one, and all the other agencies will do the same thing. So we have one set of rules that will mirror the five cities fire authority.
And they essentially go into effect at the same time.
Correct. And thank you. And that is not That is not this year. This won't go into effect this year. We have a, once we get the ordinance drawn up and approved, there has to be a first reading, a second reading, and then a 30-day wait. So we'll be beyond the fireworks season and the weed abatement season this year. So this would really take effect in the 2014 season.
Excellent. Thelma, do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
Director Angela?
I do. The safe and sane fireworks matrix, it concerns me because a lot of these people that are here are for nonprofit use, and for the fees to go continue to go up, I think is going to deter a lot of them. They just won't do it because there's not that much markup in the fire sales as there used to be. I used to do it, too, with the different groups and stuff. I would not like to see that go up any further than it has, in Oceano anyway. The other people I can't really say for Grover or Rio Grande. The other issue I have is several years back, Rio Grande and Grover outlawed fireworks. And, of course, we didn't, so we were on the list of outlaws, I guess is a good word. And what concerns me is that if the fire authority makes any changes or decides to change it again, I don't want to lose our right to separate from this. I don't want to be stuck with what you guys decide. I think it should be done locally with each community myself, but especially for fireworks, because you've got them going off a week or 10 days prior to 4th of July, and it continues on through the first of the year. So to say you can't do it before midnight, before noon on July 3rd, is just not going to work, I can tell you that. But I don't want to get into a situation where two out of three agencies decide that we're going to outlaw fireworks again. And I think that should be a choice individually made on that. And that concerns me that we'll get locked into this and not have the availability to change it back. Okay, but the 690 mandatory.
Yes, and right now your mandatory is 400.
That's what
so you have 400 and 400. That's $800. It's going down to 690 for them.
So it's a savings.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not really a savings because that's refundable. The deposit's refundable.
No, the cleaning deposit is refundable. You have a $400 right. filing fee.
Right.
And you have a $400 fee for the booth. So you're charging a nonprofit $800.
Okay.
Plus a $500.
And they have to come up with $1,300 to start off with.
Uh-huh.
At the end, if everything is cleaned up properly, they get the $500 back.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
So okay. it's roughly $200 less. So you're going to have $800 less income into the district. The second item that you made about local control, you still have local control. You are your own entity. And like I say, as if you go with this, you will direct your legal counsel to come back with an ordinance that would mirror ours. Now, if the Five Cities Fire Authority says we want to outlaw fireworks altogether, or we want to change it to do this, that, or the other, we have to come back to all three entities, because as an authority, I cannot override your ordinances or Grover Beach's or Arroyo Grande. So, and if you don't go along with those changes, then we have to follow what you want. That's why I'm coming to you now to ask you to follow, make this standard.
Okay. Weed abatement, I had a question on that, too, and it just went right out the window. Oh, do you annually go out to bid for the company that does the weed abatement?
Not annually. We signed a two-year agreement with KD Johnny this year, so we have one more year on that contract. And I believe the contract, I'd have to read it, but it may have one or two one-year extensions to it if we're happy with his service.
Okay, because I know the price has gone up quite a bit from before when we... we've had a couple of different people that did it for us here in the Oceano area, and I know it's gone up.
He was the low bid of all the of all the bidders, yes. It was $55 per standard lot, which was 50 by 100, I believe.
We had talked about in the past the number of permits that we would issue in the Oceano area, And I think we agreed on five.
Okay.
Caroline, was it not five?
Yeah, I think so.
And because, you know, there was such a competition that nobody was making it. Then I also am really concerned about limiting that when people can use fireworks in Oceano. And you say it's 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. And you know what? You're absolutely right. It is, right? And my dog hates it. But I believe in people's freedom to do that, you know, as long as they aren't harming anybody. And so, you know, you're not putting out fires in Oceano. I mean, really, I don't think we've had maybe one or two fires in 30 or 40 years on the 4th of July, you know, and of course everybody's knocking on wood, and that's really great. But I think what you're going to do is you're going to drive it underground. You're going to if you restrict people on this week, right, trust me, then you would hear 365 days a year, you know, particularly on Beach Street. You know that is firecracker lane, you know. And, I mean, we can compete with Pismo Beach, and they pay a lot of money for their fireworks. We don't pay nothing for ours, and we're in the Disneyland category. So I'm slightly concerned. But I don't know nobody.
We don't see who
did it. The chief knows this, darn it. So I'm concerned about telling people when they can let their works off and when they can't let their works off in Oceano. We're an unincorporated area. And I just think that people will give us the bird and load the mortars, I'm sorry to say. Well, so it will cause more trouble, more headaches, you know. That's just knowing this community. But I want to make sure that we stay within the five booths. I really do, because there really is a very small profit. Otherwise, the fire department would have a booth, right?
Not with me as the chief, no.
Well, in the past they have, and it hasn't been worth their yes. time. So I don't know if I can support putting this in a time box. I don't think it'll fly.
Well, like I say, I've been here a year, and I have not heard fireworks going off other than around the 4th of July.
Come over for a beer later. You'll hear some going off.
Come to Oceano.
When I have been in Oceano, I haven't heard any fireworks. The fireworks that I see mostly are the illegal, and we're not talking about those. Sure. This is not the safe and sane. So if you're talking about mortars or firecrackers, those are illegal any time in the state of California, and they shouldn't be. Those can be arrested at any time. So we're just talking about safe and sane, and I understand your concern. I just don't think, like you say, the safe and sanes, they're expensive. And for people to set those things off 12 different times a year, it's a pretty good expense.
Do you really think the safe and sane is the problem?
No. Safe and sane is not the problem. It is the illegals that we're concerned with.
Yeah.
The things that leave the ground and explode, that's what we're concerned with. That's what's starting the fires.
We don't have any fires, so.
You're exactly right. We've been very lucky.
We have really responsible residents here.
Well,
we go toe to toe on this.
Yeah.
You know,
when
I listen to the mortars every other day.
Yeah. If it leaves the ground, I don't think people are being careful or responsible. You know, it doesn't take much for a bottle rocket to land on some innocent person's roof and burn that roof off, and through no fault of that homeowner at all. It's just some irresponsible kids that are using illegal fireworks.
Absolutely right.
And those aren't what we're talking about here tonight. So I understand your concern, but I think in the overall picture, having everything standardized and having one set of dates, I think serves everybody in a more positive fashion.
Karen, do you have?
Yeah, I have two things. Number one, I have a philosophical belief that fireworks are part of the 4th of July, safe and sane.
Now, you can make a law that is more restrictive than that, but you can't say we're going to sell safe and sane fireworks here 365 days. That's in violation of state law. So what I'm saying and what you're asking, again, same as Director Angelo was saying, you're not losing any control here. If I were to come back to you next year and say, I want to ban fireworks altogether, you can say, well, that's great, Chief, but we're not going to ban them here in Oceano. And you keep your ordinance however you want to write it, and I have to follow that ordinance.
Okay.
That's why I'm asking that you, like I say, standardize the process, make your ordinance mirror what the authority ordinance will be. And if we change the authority ordinance, we have to come back to you, and you have to agree to that or say no and keep your own ordinance or rewrite it. And I have to follow that.
Okay.
You're not losing any control here.
Because I would fight against. Yeah.
May I say something, please? Right now, well, in the last couple of weeks, I've reviewed our current ordinances and resolutions regarding the fireworks. They all need to be updated and amended. This is our opportunity to write our ordinance that will be under the umbrella of the Five Cities Fire Authority, but it's the way we want it done here in Oceano. And there isn't a tie-in that says that our fireworks can be taken away from us. We still have the authority over the fireworks. It's just what we're trying to do is line up the due dates, the timelines with the other two communities. It's only a timeline issue.
Oh, I support this whole
but
little idea.
It's because we are, the reason it's being done is because we are a joint authority under the fire department now, and so the fire department regulates the sale and the safety of these.
Yeah.
So we're lining it up only under the authority so they can have an easier way of getting weed abatement done and the same dates for the specifications of the sale of the safe and sane fireworks. Other than that, we have the autonomy over everything in the according
except
to
except for when they're lit.
According to the ordinances that we write.
Right. But our ordinances will null and void. They don't apply to these points. We can write till the cows come home, but once we vote to do it the AG Grover Beach way, right?
We're not voting the AG.
We bet we are. You know, they've outlawed fireworks over there. Then they say they can use them. And then you restrict when you can light the little worm glow worm. You know, it's almost like doing it. I don't get the point.
It's administrative.
It's like my grandson. You know, when he comes up on May for spring vacation, he can't light his little glowworms. He'll get a ticket. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Oh, gosh. Is he not a threat?
Well, I'm always concerned about limiting freedoms.
Yeah,
and so I don't mind that the Five City Fire Authorities is the administrator for this, and that they handle these programs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like that. If you just don't like one aspect of what the chief is suggesting, therefore, you know, we can't pass something like this, or you can't direct me to work with Chief Arnez and the other attorneys to draft a resolution or an ordinance that is something that's acceptable to us.
Right. Well,
in other words. My understanding is that you can direct me to work with the chief and the other attorneys from the other our fellow surrounding communities to draft an ordinance that will make it easier on the fire authority to enforce weed abatement and to manage the sale of fireworks, but we can still keep some of that Oceano uniqueness in the ordinance as well.
Well, it's kind of like a penalty. You know, you light a sparkler, you get a ticket. You know, I mean,
you light a bottle rocket, you get a bigger one.
You know, well, I gotta catch it.
Well, that's. Go ahead.
I had one other question. Go ahead.
Go ahead, finish.
Well, my other question is weed abatement. I see that your clearance deadline is June 1st.
Yes.
And I think I have mentioned it before. I think that's a little early and can be unrealistic in certain times, because you could clear a lot on June 1st and it would be weedy and full of weeds again on August 1st.
You know, but we have time frames that we have to meet as far as noticing the property owner and having a mow down date, having a protest hearing after that, and then getting the people that didn't meet the mow down and had the contractor do it, of getting those properties to the county controller by July 20th. And so if we move that date back any further, this is a pretty tight timeline.
Yeah.
To move that date back any further is really quite difficult.
But there again, you may not be gaining anything.
Let's make a community garden out of it.
Sure.
Okay. I always mention that. And
Does the board agree that we like the idea except for the limitation on?
I like the whole idea.
You like limiting it too?
Sure. I don't care about limiting it because the people that are going to use illegal rockets and stuff who are using the fireworks, they're not going to pay any attention anyway.
If I may, you know, there's compromise throughout this. You know,
I'm open.
Sales in Arroyo Grande could only go till 9 p.m. Well, now they're going to go till 10 p.m. You can only set off fireworks in Arroyo Grande on 4th of July. Now they're going to have a range. And they've accepted this as, and also the New Year's, and they've accepted this as a compromise to streamlining the process. You know, there was an article in Monday's paper about the Constitution and governments and debate and compromise, and we wouldn't have the Constitution before us if there was not compromise by all of our founding fathers. So, yes, there are going to be some changes in this, and quite frankly, if we try to write an ordinance that we can set off fireworks 365 days a year, maybe we can do that for just Oceano. I don't know. But I don't think the other two entities are going to entertain setting off fireworks 365 Oceano intact. Then I'm in favor of that. I don't think we'll be able to get the other entities to accept 365 days a year, though.
That was never the idea. It was to preserve Oceano's uniqueness.
Right.
I mean, you guys are going to adopt your own separate ordinance just as those other entities would do the same thing.
And they don't have to. They don't have to agree. They don't have to agree.
They have the same powers we have. They can write the ordinance however they want.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
I'm just saying that last night, Arroyo Grande accepted what I proposed to you tonight.
Then why don't we direct Chase to meet with the chief and bring something back to us at the next meeting then? Do you have enough time?
I don't think by the next meeting will be enough time.
Why don't we, next month, first meeting in next month?
Yeah.
Is that okay, Chief? No, because we're looking at doing this for next year.
Yeah, this will be effective in 2014, so we have time.
Right.
Oh, good. Because we really want to talk about it.
Chief, you're trying to get this before, before your people in April? Is that what I'm seeing here, or by the April board meeting, you want something from all the entities?
No. The April board meeting of 2014.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And we can put Halcyon on the restricted fireworks schedule.
Yeah. You guys get nothing.
Right.
Actually,
not even safe and sane.
We have to complain our sandbox.
The few on the 4th of July in front of my house, we do not do any other fireworks.
Oh, yeah?
Because the Temple of the People has strongly restricted the use of fireworks amid our old houses and our many, many, many eucalyptus trees.
I can understand that.
Mm-hmm. It's understandable.
Chief's smiling. He understands that as well. So.
But
again, I worry about the old roofs and the eucalyptus from the illegal stuff because it's airborne. The safe and sane, we just simply don't have problems with that.
Thank you.
So, Director Gurr, this would be, someone would need to make a motion to direct me to work with Chief Arenas regarding the drafting of an ordinance pertaining to standardizing a process of weed abatement and the procedures for sale of safe and sane fireworks.
Right. I'll make that motion with the report back by the first meeting in, or second meeting in March. If you bring it back sooner, that's fine.
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Next time I'll answer your phone call. Director Hurt.
To tell what caught on fire and why it caught on fire.
Well, what happened was the rags, a local restaurant washed some rags. They were not pre-treated for the grease. They were not degreased. They were not then washed properly. They were left in the dryer and spontaneously combusted inside of a dryer. Fortunately, somebody was there, called 911. fire truck is about, what, 300 yards away? So they made it there very quickly. And by the time I got there, when I did finally answer the call, it's kind of always interesting to pull up on your business and see ladders on the roof and firemen up there and
punching
water all
in
over
it.
The, yeah. We'll see what we find, you know, so. Director Hurdle asked if we could take a break. Why don't we do that? It's 8:08, and we'll come back at 8:15.
Water, it's agreed that it's needed. This is the other option that we could do is we could go buy a Vactor truck at the cost of $250,000 to $300,000.
Right.
We want this because it's mobile. We want this because we can leave somebody working and not tie up a truck. And with our alleyway system, because of the nature of the vehicle itself, it allows us to get in and out with a lot of out a lot of hassles. So I need a roll call vote to approve, but I'll answer any questions.
The only question I had was we had discussed last time about the California emission requirements and permitting.
Right. So when we get that vehicle in, we will have to fill out a permit with APCD, and that's our only issue.
Okay.
So there's a probably about a $354 charge from APCD.
It's fairly nominal.
Now, the other thing is this is a custom build to our specifications, so we will not see that for probably 2 to 3 months, but we're expediting on them to get it in here.
And
we have used Vactors. We've paid FRM and we paid Roy Grandy to use them, but we're at the liberty of their schedule, not our schedule. And you were with Pat yesterday. You know what we need to do, and we've explained that over and over again. So.
Right, and I'm comfortable with the purchase of this. I note that it comes in the color of our choice. I thought you'd probably get white and put our logo on it, but I didn't know.
Get what color?
White and put our logo on it, or did
yeah?
You?
No, we're gonna. It'll follow the same suit. So
okay,
it will have a logo. We already have the logos already made.
I do like lipstick red also. And so
I thought you were gonna say lipstick.
Okay.
And this will vacuum and jet.
Right.
And transport, and so it's not just a jetter. It will
right.
also vacuum.
And for the import there is that if we have spills, it cleans them up. When you're emptying out pipes, if there's a breakage, you can't get over the lipstick, can you?
No, I can't.
And I won't admit that in public. So
I had a question.
Director White.
Yep. There was somebody discussing something about engine size, about a smaller engine size, and I just wondered if...
No, this was, we gave them our specs to what we had to do, and
this
is what they recommended. I'm just amazed that somebody could be that much of an expert on every different topic that they could question that.
Yeah, I was thinking they were talking about a...
Yeah, I read that too. It doesn't make any sense.
Okay, thank you.
Since our pipes are not really accustomed to be blown out very often.
I knew this was going to happen.
Maybe never.
I'm afraid they're a little fragile.
Microphone on.
And then if we remove too much of the fats and greases, they might like fall apart or something if they're too clean. So I know the engineers and you discussed the velocity that you're going to the pressure that you're going to put on our poor, fragile infrastructure.
You really want me to get written up again, don't you?
So we're cool with that, right? We're not going to blow up our pipes.
No.
We purchase a jetter, vacuum, trailer as with the information contained in a report from Mr. Gieselin at a price of $124,990.
I'll second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Can I get a roll call vote?
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angela?
Yes.
Yes.
And I want to thank you, Mr. Gieselin, for realizing that, you know, for not taking up all the cash and seeking out
Well, that's our next subject.
Other... Okay. Take it away.
And I think the record should reflect that the this is per the staff report, and it is going to be a lease, so with the terms spelled out.
That's wise.
Yeah. Item 10D, which is the five-year capital... I'm sorry, 10D. Approval of five-year capital lease of Jetter Vacuum. Okay, I got ahead of myself.
So I didn't want to burn cash, and so the agreement is we qualified for a $100,000 lease. We will put down $25,000 at the time being that we're going to go forward. And then Rabo Bank, which is our bank, approved us for a five-year $100,000 lease. At the end of the lease, the equipment is ours, free and clear. So the rate is 4.43, and I received a letter and an email saying that we were approved, and I just need your 5-0, or I need a vote to approve this, and then we will engage the lease documents, which I believe I will sign, and Director Guerrero will sign as part of the district.
I can come by tomorrow and do that if the board approves it.
Well, as soon as we get them. They wanted to get them to us today, but there's no rush, right? So we can get it. They're going to honor the rate, I'm actually kind of proud of the effort because we had to submit financials, and they accepted them.
All right. Good job. Any questions for Tom?
Do we need to make a second motion?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
So I need a motion to approve this lease as specified.
Okay.
I'm waiting for a motion.
I move that.
Go ahead. No, it's your turn.
Okay. I move that we accept the five-year lease agreement between Rabo Bank and the Oceano Community Service District for the purchase of a capital, for a purchase of a Jetter vacuum to be used by the district at the interest rate of 4.3% for a five-year agreement.
4.43%
with $25,000 down.
Okay. Second.
All right, I have a motion and a second. Carol Ann, if we can have a roll call vote.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. Okay, now I'm not confused anymore. Moving on to item number 10E. This is the approval of up to $20,000 for purchase of a flat.
We don't have that feature. So instead of going out and purchasing new or leasing new, we have contacted several government liquidation places, and we have contacted utility truck purveyors. And this is an example of the type of truck that we are going to pursue. And we need five.
We do have some members of the audience. Is there any?
Yeah, and I'll give some to the audience as well. Let's give it those five. And I'll hold it up so if our camera guy can see it. So this is an Isuzu work truck. If you notice, it's a dually. It's set up with utility boxes. And this is the type that we want to pursue because we also, I'll be coming to you later to get a new utility truck as well. But this is the style we want, and we want to have it outfitted with a dump bed. This truck here, right now, it's a 2005, and I believe it's selling for $23,000. There's no haggling. We haven't even gone to them yet. They said, hey, we found this. Do you think you have a need for it? So they've already offered to replace the bed, but we're still going to continue to look. But the goal is to come in under $20,000 and have a quality truck. It'll have the OCSD logo on it. It'll have some sort of factory certification on it because it's a return, even though we do most of the maintenance ourselves. Mm-hmm. But this is what we want to start outfitting the field with. And so that's what I'm asking for you tonight is to approve me at $20,000, and we will go out and make that happen over the next 90 days. And I'm open to questions.
And who was selling this particular vehicle that you showed us?
This was through Gibbs International, but I've also contacted Monarch, and I've also got, you've seen me on the government liquidation sites looking for it.
I've been on there as well.
Yeah.
Looking. Okay. And I think there was a discussion, I think, sir, the rest of the board knows. Is this for the sewer truck? Because we had talked about how sanitizing the tools. Can you explain?
That'll be the next request I come to you about. This trailer here with the dump will have a tow feature. You can see the tow feature on there as well. Mm-hmm. It's so it will pull the new jetter trailer, and it will also function as a utility truck when we're not jetting. So.
Okay. Is there any other questions for Manager Gieselin?
Is that thing big enough to tow?
Yes, we checked the vehicle.
It looks like
these are industrial trucks, and they last a long time. I think the Isuzus have been out for 30, 40 years. They've been making them a long time. And the diesel?
Been out for 50 years.
I'm not old enough to remember that.
I don't remember the spec on this. Usually it says diesel. Actually, this is gas, so there would be no APCD thing with it.
I know gas is cheaper.
Do we have to get more bids?
Say again?
Do we have to
get something that's got a halfway decent warranty, or we'll get something that's even more inexpensive, so if something does go wrong, we'll be able to compensate for it. But this is the kind of the model that we're going for, but it's kind of like I can go talk to these guys, someone blue in the face, say, oh, well, I got to get approval from my board to go spend it. Well, when's that going to happen? And we may lose the transaction. So.
Well, the other thing, too, is these forward cab designs are highly maneuverable.
Right. With the amount of alley work that we have to do, that fits right where we need to be.
Right. Are these stick shift? Or are guard guys able to drive a stick?
They're capable of driving both.
Okay, good.
Our backhoe is stick shift.
Okay, good. You never know with the youngins these days if they can drive a stick. So.
I just can't believe that people don't know how to drive a stick. It just amazes me.
And if you notice, too, that we're going with a more open bed area, too, because you've been out on the last couple jobs. We're carrying large pieces of pipe to get out there and get things fixed. This fits our needs. And this is not me demanding it. This is what the
yard guys
crew, they're giving their input, and they're following through on. I could spec something, but it'd have a Mercedes emblem on it, and it wouldn't do any good.
It'd look good going to lunch.
It looked cool, yeah, but.
Well, I think.
Put a pipe rack on top.
The only thing I get concerned about is just picking equipment that's been on the coast because of,
the rust factor.
I have a lot of chrome on my bike, and so I fight the salt water
right.
intrusion in everything. And so buying a vehicle that's been housed on the coast is,
We're working it.
Thank you, Tom.
Monarch Trucks is all over the state, so is Gibbs. Mm-hmm. Gibbs has our spec, and the guy is feeding us these on a regular basis. So.
And the $20,000, that would include tax license?
Everything.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion to approve the purchase of up to $20,000 for a flatbed dump truck.
Second.
All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Is there any opposed? All right. Good luck, Tom. Motion carries 5-0.
I'll test drive the sticks for you.
Chase, it doesn't have to be roll call, does it? We're okay with the voice vote.
I think it actually does have to be roll call.
Let's back it up then, Carol Ann.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
All right. Motion carries 5-0. Good luck, Tom.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Director Guerrero. You were moving fast there.
Item 10F, update on RFP. Is this Mary or Chase or who's?
I think either one of us could do it.
Today was a milestone day.
Wait.
All right. I know it's a milestone day. I've built in time in my little update.
You both can do updates.
It's easy. It's a short one. There's no decision that needs to be made. I just wanted to let you all know that it is proceeding, and it's proceeding along in a timely fashion. We advertised the RFP in the Tribune, the LA Times, and the San Jose Mercury News. Per Director Lucy's instruction, I also reached out to the head of the California Society of Women
Engineers
at Cal Poly and put them on notice.
Pin down a cost of service amount. So, in other words, how much were they going to be able to project our business was worth? And I said that we would probably get back to them on that. But I needed to discuss it with council before we did that. I did also say that we were executing a paradigm shift where they would do the engineering, but staff would do the contract management, and that raised an eyebrow from one of the firms. But we're not going to allow contract management unless there's some legal parameters, as we have to. We'll do that in-house. So. But they were both impressed, and they both the fact that they were here shows that they want to do the business. And we get numerous calls during the week about the RFP, basic information.
And I think that I have two in my file as well.
Written.
Can I speak to the cost of services that one of the bidders brought up? Would that not be reflective of the scope of work, and would that not vary from task to task? As far as cost of services, that was my intent in working on that, you know, it varies from hour to hour. If you're in the trenches or you know, literally doing something versus writing, you know, up a standard reporter, it would be different. Services, so it would cost different, correct? That's how I've always done
contracts.
Well,
the way the RFP was written was that we were requesting engineering service on an as-needed basis.
Right.
And my understanding from working with you and Director Guerrero and Mr. Gieselin was that there was no budget amount or something that we were, you know, target. We were actually asking for them to submit their proposals to us as to what they would charge us for those services.
That's right.
Written questions to the RFP are due this Friday, and we will be responding to all written questions on the website.
Okay.
Per the terms of the RFP, and this would be one of them.
Okay.
To answer.
Thanks, Chase.
Okay. Final proposals are all due on the 27th of this month, and we'll start evaluating them once we get them all in.
So what we'll do is we'll put it on for our next agenda. We'll take this as a report received.
Is that an issue closed?
I think so.
We do have one request for public comment.
Our public comment is set for item 17. Should we move that?
You can do it.
Because we're going to go on a closed session.
Yeah, we're going to go on a closed session. So why don't we take the public comment at this time, at item 17?
Jennifer Blackburn, please.
Hi, Jennifer Blackburn, Oceano.
Good evening.
I just wanted to let you know that I support your direction to Mr. Martin to work with the JPA to uphold our rights. To set off fireworks at our pleasure. I also support the rest of the matrix, you know, streamlining it. I'm totally.
Your son will have his fireworks.
Utility items, none. Item number 12, closed session. A, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation, pursuant to government code section 54956.9A from Stephen Langstaff, wrongful termination. It is 8:40 p.m. At this time, we'll adjourn to closed session.
Dude.
We're back from closed session. It's 8:59 p.m. There is no reportable action from closed session this evening. Item number 13 is board member comments. Why don't we start at Karen's side? Director White?
Not really, thank you.
Nope.
Go back to the end of the table. Director Angela.
Actually, I don't have anything. Everything's right. Good.
Thank you.
I would like to see the public come out and support our farmers market. We need your input, your experience, your finances, if you have them. We really want to make this work, and we really want this to be an all-out community effort. So our next meeting is February 21st at 6 p.m. here, and all are welcome. And I look forward to seeing you. Second, pardon me?
I'm excited.
I am, too. Second, I would like to know when we can reschedule our committee meetings, Tom. Mm-hmm. Okay.
My only comments, I want to say thank you, Tom. I'm also mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it. So I appreciate that. And we have some... We're not going to take a little quiet riot, right? So we're going to start playing that at the beginning of the meetings. And, Tom, we got your back. And so I want you to know that.
Well, it's not a question of having my back. It's just it's reached a point where it's doing damage to this district. I mean, she's entitled to come say whatever she wants and she can make. But when you're impacting this district to do business, then you're impacting the people that are paying their bills and mm-hmm. expect mm-hmm. us to do a job. And we can't do it. Then it's reached a point where we just got to say, hey, enough is enough.
Right. And I think she needs to know that when she is trying to interrupt our business and when she is calling different people from state regulatory agencies and counties and businesses, the first thing they do is they call us back
right.
and say, who is this? And use your expletive.
And
why is she calling us? And, in fact, we got calls from people on our agenda tonight that were getting called by them. And it's just the harassment. It's just unacceptable. It lacks class, and it needs to stop. I doubt that it will, because you're asking people to control themselves that can't.
And the public needs to know that you, as a board, work very diligently, and I meet with almost each and every one of you on your committee assignments mm-hmm. on a weekly basis, sometimes more, depending on the setup. And for them to leave... to call you early Sunday morning and...
stopped and thought, is this going to get physical? You know? And everybody in the library stopped, too. And everybody in the conference room stopped because he was screaming and he was so aggressive. So, yeah, I'm really very worried about it. And I know that we're not the first, you know? And I know that there are people who pay agitators And I know the difference between a paid agitator and somebody who's entertained by local government. You know, it's definitely a paid agitation.
We had two people that originally pulled RFPs on the engineering deal, and then they both, after they got copied on one of her
blog posts,
deals, they said, you know what, we just don't want to do this.
And I'm surprised that she's allowed to post. It seems to be well, her reputation.
I gave you the cure and correct that she submitted, and she copies them on them, and she's basically threatening them, like she's threatening us, that they did something wrong. And council can tell you that we did nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's just a very, very sad state of affairs when you are putting that much venom and
negative energy.
Negative energy and being fully, total ignoring of the facts and just fabricating stuff to advance your weak argument. Right.
Right.
It's just to me that's just a heinous activity. It's got to stop.
Well, I'm mad as heck, and I resent when she refers to in her arguments that we need to do this, we need to do this, and she's including herself and me in the same we, and we are not the same we. I'm representing Oceano. She has no dog in the fight in Oceano, and I just really resent it. There's a lot of we's out there in the community that I try to represent, but I'm not going to listen to somebody who calls me on Sunday morning wanting to get information on some agenda. It was like she's spying, like I'm being spied on.
Just to put it in perspective, when Mrs. Austin and Mrs. Guyton were here, they called them to get an advance on what their presentation was going to be. Well, they weren't presenting anything. Our board was presenting acknowledgments to them. Mm-hmm. They didn't call our office to ask what was going on. They called them. And it was at a prior to business hours. I mean, it's like, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
There's also a new business in town. It's
yes.
Internet Cafe.
Yes.
Open right next to the laundromat right there on Front Street.
Oh,
they had
yes.
a grand opening on
yes.
Saturday. They've got, I don't know, 20 computers and big jukebox, and I think they're going to be selling snacks.
Wonderful.
The owner's name is Alan. He's about 6'8", big blonde hair guy, hard to miss. And so I'd invite everybody to go down to the new Internet Cafe, check it out,
bring
get a bag
laundry.
Of chips. Bring your laundry next door. And that's right. We share a parking lot. But go check it out. Support your local businesses. Material. And Ms. Tacker will send him work requests and direct communications. And I think it's inappropriate. I think the community of Oceana would think that it's inappropriate that she's running up our legal bill
yeah.
by doing that. So
ran up our legal bill, and, you know, we had to change the format of our meetings because they were taking mm-hmm. 6 minutes every agenda item. Now we're getting out of, you know.
Now we're getting business done. And so what we've done is we've directed Chase not to respond, not to start doing work unless or until we ask him to do so, because she nor Mr. Edwards control our agenda. We control our own agenda. Any other late received communications?
Just what you received tonight, which I wasn't given a copy of, so I have no idea what it is. I'll let council direct him.
To be candid, I have not looked at it all that closely. It's a CD entitled NCSD Supplemental Water Alternatives Eval from January 25th, 2013. Giesland starts at 1:28. Does anyone else receive this? Or
yes.
has anyone else
yes,
received
I
this?
Got.
It was dropped up here. I didn't look at it.
Okay. And it's folded inside of the Napomo Community Services District Special Meeting Minutes regarding Supplemental Water Alternatives Evaluation Committee.
And I'd already, anyway, I already discussed that.
It's already been addressed.
Let's move on to future agenda items.
Recycle
those right now?
Yeah, the shredder works.
Any future agenda items that we haven't discussed this evening already?
Yeah.
Go ahead. We need to start looking hard at the budget for next year, so we're not doing it last minute. So that'll be one of the committee meetings that we'll be calling.
Okay.
Finance committee meeting to nail that down. I have a first swag, but I have to review it with staff first.
Okay.
It's kind of cool now to do some more forward thinking instead of the fire drills that we've been going in the past. So my plan this year is, instead of a single line item budget, that we will come in with actually a budget tailored to each fund. And we have the ability to do that now. So I'm kind of excited about that. So,
great. Thank you.
So that we should probably, like Director Lucy, she's expecting a grandchild. I'm expecting a grandchild. We probably don't want it for the next meeting, but
the
we definitely
are gonna
want
start.
It for the March one.
When did you say, Tom? Excuse me?
What? Our first meeting in March.
Okay.
So that means we'd have to have a finance meeting before then. So I'll check the calendar and get it out there. But
there's something I forgot to mention in my sanitation district report, was that since around October or November, I've been banging the drum, pointing out that the legal expenses were miscategorized as operations. That's supposed to be coming back this next meeting next week. John Wallace advised that he was working diligently.
I think, and I think that's what our constituents want us to do, so that it would work somehow.
Yeah.
And poor Carol Ann has been dragging around these binders, trying to get my attention with them for weeks about codification and...
That's why they're sitting in the center when I got here.
Yeah. Should we agendize that? Carol Ann?
Well, you can put it under a committee that's a standing committee, but you can't print it by itself because it's not, codification is not a standing committee. It is a subcommittee
of
the policies and procedures.
I hate to say this, but should we ask Chase to look at those and try to figure out?
Yeah, there we go.
You know, that was the best
thing that I got.
Last attorney
that looked at it cost us $44,000.
I was just going to say.
Plus.
Put a popcorn budget on it. So.
Can't we do this ourselves?
Yeah.
Well, we can. The problem is that Carol's been dragging my and trying to get my attention with them for weeks, and nobody's looking at them. And that's,
No.
Well, I noticed they have everybody's names, different names on them.
They do. Okay, so should we send those binders home with people so they can look at them and come back at the next meeting and report to us something?
Or do you want us to read them in front of you?
She's going to make us punch
in all seriousness, she took that. The staff has been taking initiative on their own when they hear things, and she took that on her own to pull that all together, and she did a heck of a job. So right. I think in justice to her work ethic,
right.
You owe it to her to read it.
And she really
and
did.
And then tell me all about it because I don't want to hear about it.
she really did pull those together herself. She went through all the meetings. She went through all the resolutions, and she garnered all of this information, and she has a ton of hours into those. And it's really something that is important. It's just something that's...
Can we take them home?
Yeah. It's kind of like paying your tax bill. Something that's just hard to sit down and do sometimes.
Well, it's just called homework.
And she found a resolution that said that codification was not... a standing committee. So I'll read it from cover to cover.
Okay, so why don't we give those to Mary and Karen? And
not all of them, they're for each one.
Well, Carol Ann, why don't you pass out who gets each of those and we'll have them take them home.
Like your finance, district, so like six of those are yours.
Right.
Clarification isn't even on this.
Oh, I don't have any.
Oh, that's why you were so...
I'm so surprised.
And those are mine.
And for the record, I already have one in my car. I just didn't get one tonight.
So I think you should read those and report on those at the next meeting.
Right, everybody can... That's definitely your color.
Okay.
That highlighter is definitely
your
color. So we'll just have a report back at the next the committee assignments during that section. We've already had public comment. Is there a motion to adjourn? Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Have a good night, everybody. It's 9:05.
See you.